Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this, the Christ the King Sunday, will be taken from the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter. And I'll be reading from verse 33 this morning to verse 43. Again, that's the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, and I'll begin reading from verse 33. Luke 23, verse 33, and we'll read as follows in the name of our Lord. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We thank you again for your word. And we do pray, Father, even as our brother prayed, that indeed you would bless us with your Holy Spirit. That, Father, each one of us who have gathered here with our needs, with our wants, with our thoughts, with our preconceived notions of who you are, perhaps, Father, would you shatter all of that? By your word, Father, as a hammer, break those things into pieces and renew and refresh our hearts again through your word. So sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake, we pray. Amen. They brought him to a place called Calvary. There's a very powerful message that comes forth from the pages of this book, obviously. But the message of the cross is by far away the most powerful message outside of the resurrection. Because the message of the cross is, in essence, the message of the Christian church. And this is what we begin to talk about and proclaim as we consider the work of our God and His working. It is this horrible death that our God suffers that brings us even here this morning and calls us to again consider who our God is and what He has done for us. Which is why very often as we gather in a church service such as this, we need to have our preconceived notions of God, even as I prayed, shattered. We need the Word of God to come in and address those things and to reveal again unto us afresh who exactly God is and what He has done. We are very familiar with this passage. We hear it mostly every Good Friday. But very often on Christ the King Sunday, we address this cross again. He was brought to a place called Calvary, the place of the skull, the place of death. And he was brought there with two malefactors, two criminals, because as Isaiah prophesied, Jesus would die a criminal's death. He wouldn't go through the typical procedure of a king's death or be laid in royalty or anything like that. He would simply die on a cross. And this is what Paul says when he begins to write a little later on in this same Bible, when he writes and talks to the Corinthians, he says, "This is what I really want to know among you. You see, I may know a lot of things in my head. I may understand a lot about this Bible, but if I don't know Christ and Him crucified, then I know absolutely nothing." Which is where we come to as we examine, as we come to the end, interestingly enough, of this church here, we again consider the work of our God and His crucifixion, the crucifixion of His Son. You see, we could have read the entire account, I suppose, and we could have examined all of the various aspects of that account, the trial and the cry of the people, how they cried for His death, and how Pilate in the end turned Jesus over to the will of the people, and how the will of the people was carried out in His crucifixion. But actually, what we really need to examine this morning is, who is this King that we speak of on Christ the King Sunday? A king, as he goes off and begins to create his kingdom, gathers subjects around him that'll build him up, that'll place him on his throne where he's able to rule and make judgments. But a king's life was a treacherous life. You can read of all of the various Caesars. Many of them were died by assassination, as their own subjects would turn on them and kill them. But this king here comes and dies for his subjects. They brought him to Calvary. They brought the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to Calvary, to the place of the skull, to a place where everyone who would be walking by could see these men hanging on the cross, and they would know those men are the most notorious criminals that are in our area, because look, they're suffering a Roman crucifixion. A horrible, horrible death that was only reserved for those who were the worst of the worst. They brought him to Calvary. God brought His Son to Calvary. You see, my friends, this was completely the work of God. As God worked through His Son, through all of these trials, all of these things, God brought His Son to Calvary. And the people mocked Him. As He was hanging there on the cross, they mocked Him. They derided Him. They would come to Him and say things like, "Look, He saved others. Why can't He save Himself? If He was really the King of the Jews, He would get down from there." And they were dead wrong. Because the King of the Jews came to die for them. I want you to consider your King this morning. And I want you to consider where you would be as you were standing there on that hill called Calvary. And what would be the sound and the words coming off of your lips as you looked at this so-called Messiah, who is called the King of the Jews, who is the King of the universe. And you look at Him and you see Him there, naked, nailed it to the cross, bleeding and dying. what would have been our response? I think it's clear enough out of the scripture. We would have derided him as well. We would have been right there saying, well, come on. I mean, we've seen you raise Lazarus. We've seen you give people sight. We've seen you heal these people, do all of these miraculous things. If you really are who you say you are, come down from that cross. And Jesus simply says, Father, forgive them. As he scans this world, as God is able to scan this world, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There's no greater word spoken in the history of this world than those words. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because very often, as we live out our lives in this world, we live out our lives as those who are idolaters. We create a God, as it were. We create God in our own image. We make him look what we want him to look like, and then we say, there he is, that's who he is. Which is why we need always to have our images and our idolatry shattered by the word. As the word again addresses us at that point and shows us now who God really is. He's not a God of our own makings, our own creation. He is the creator. And he's dying on a cross on a hill called Calvary. Why? Why, you may ask? Why do we walk by this cross and act like it's no big deal? Why does the world walk by the cross and act like it's no big thing what's going on here? Because we don't understand our God. And we don't understand exactly how gracious he is and how kind he is. We have very often painted up a very wrong picture of Christ the King. We have turned him into a reigning and ruling judge. Instead of seeing him simply hanging on a cross, naked, dying for my sins. And not simply for my sins, but for the sins of everyone seated in this sanctuary or out there in the entryway or over there in the fellowship hall. Wherever they're seated in this building, he died there. He's at Calvary, bleeding and dying for their sins. Which is why we ought to get very upset with people who ever want to take away from that message or add on to it, which is why Paul was upset. I can't glory in anything else save Jesus Christ and him crucified. To bring anything else is blasphemy. We bring to this world Christ and him crucified because this is the message that we have come to understand as we gaze by the eyes of faith upon this man who is hanging on the center cross of Calvary, dying. Dying for my sins and for my blasphemy and for my hatred of him. For the world's hatred of him. He hangs there, all alone, and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He looks at you this morning and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Very often we're play acting. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then the soldiers come to him and they mock him as well. They offer to him this sour wine or vinegar, as it's called here in the King James. And they say, if you are the king, save yourself. And there's a superscription written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew so everyone can see it. Whether they're people who are Greek speaking or people who are Latin speaking or people who speak Hebrew, there it is, plain and clear, spelled out. This is the King of the Jews. Pilate did this, of course, mocking the Jews. But this was the most truest statement that perhaps ever came forth from the dictation of Pilate. I don't know Pilate's entire life, but what he said was true. This is the Messiah. This is the King. This is your King. Look at him. Look at him. Pretty pathetic. That's exactly what would be going through the minds of the people that looked at it. You see, I know that may be hard for you to hear this morning, but that's very much what people would have thought. This is the King of the Jews? Come on. In fact, the Pharisees said, and the scribes, don't put that up there. Or if you're going to put it, well, he said, I am the King of the Jews. No, this is the King of the Jews. But this isn't just the King of the Jews. This is the King of the entire world. This is the King of you and of me as well. And by revelation of the Holy Spirit, God opens this message to the hearts of people. Because one of the malefactors, one of the criminals who is hanging there, gives him the same exact medicine. If you're the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other says, don't you fear God? Seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong. The thief or the criminal, whoever he was, understood that that man who was hanging beside him on the cross had done nothing. He was simply hanging there because of the jealousy of the people and the hatred of the people who were gathered around that cross. And he recognized something about this man who was hanging there beside him. He was no mere man. He recognized that this was, in fact, the man, Jesus, who was the King of the Jews. He was the Messiah. He was the one who could give and take life. Because he makes this very profound statement, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, remember me. You see, on the other side of the resurrection, as we look at this cross of Calvary and we understand its message, this is the cry that comes forth from our lips as well. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Dear listener this morning, this is the message for you as you consider again Christ the King hanging on the center cross of Calvary, and you consider in your own life your own derision of him, your own hatred of him. To think that he still loved you in spite of who you are, when you were yet in the depth of your sinning, it tells us in Romans, he died for us. He didn't wait for us to somehow straighten out our lives while we were still sinning. He died for us. This is what makes this message so incredible. Because as we consider the message of the crucifixion of our Lord, we understand something quite clearly by the power of the Holy Spirit. This man dies in my place. That death should have been mine. I deserved the criminal's death. I was the one who sinned. I am the one who has done wrong. I am the one who has had bad thoughts. And on it goes. I am the corrupt person who needs to die 1,000 deaths because of my sin. But instead, this man dies for me. This man dies for me. They led him to Calvary. And there on Calvary's hill, the payment for sin was made. The payment for your derision of him, the payment for your hatred, the payment for your disobedience, the payment for all of your sin, for the sin that you committed this morning and you committed yesterday and the sins you will commit tomorrow. He died for every one of them. He tells the thief, when the thief says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, he says, verily I say unto you, truly, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Because the work was done. This is your king. This is your king who comes to this earth, lays aside, as it were, his kingship and becomes mere mortal in order to purchase you and to make you his own. This is your king who speaks to you from his word this morning and tells you as you cry out in your heart, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come to your kingdom. I recognize, Lord, by your work and by the power of your spirit and your word that I am undone. I have nothing to offer to you. And there you are, hanging on the cross, dying for me. Why would you do such a thing? Because that's the other side of this, isn't it? Because his immense love for me, they led him to Calvary. Because of his immense love for you, they led him to Calvary. And he laid him there on that cross. And he nailed him there. So he could save me. He could save me. There is no greater message, church. There is no greater message than the crucified Lord. Because this crucified Lord died for you in your place. And in his death, my friends, you find your life. In his death, you find your life. Why? Because he didn't stay dead. He rose victorious on that Easter morning and completely shattered the existence of this world, bringing a completely different message and a completely different kingdom. God forbid. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but a new creature, out of Romans 6, the last few verses. In his death, he has changed you. The criminal hanging on the cross went to paradise because the curse was reversed. My friends, I'm counseling you this morning by the power of the word. This is what you need to understand as you consider all the work of the cross and the powerful resurrection of our Lord. The curse has been reversed. It's been lifted. And now you and I now live as new creations in this world. Which is why we heard what we heard even in the baptism of that beautiful little child this morning. It's why we baptize, by the way, because of the work of this man who went to the center cross of Calvary, paying the penalty for her sins as well. He receives her into his kingdom like he received this thief. Today, you will be with me in paradise. There's no greater message, young people. There's no greater message, older people, or middle-aged people, than the message of the cross. And understand one thing, when I say the message of the cross, I mean the completed, finished work of our King. The cross encapsulates that complete message. In that message comes the hope for the entire human race, because the entire human race was destined for death and destruction, and there need to be a million crosses lined up in this world and a whole pile of people hanging on those things. But instead, because of one man hanging on that cross, that changed everything for this world. Because the message of life and salvation comes through the message of the cross. I'm going to close by just reading a very familiar hymn for you. Just thought of it as I was studying this morning. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. You see, the thief, he literally bore the cross, but today he wears a crown. May God help us to understand the message of the cross. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. We thank you for the cross. Because, Father, the cross demonstrates for us your immense love that you have for this human race, for us. And as we examined, again, just a small portion of your word, oh, how powerful that message is. As we understand once again, Father, you died, your Son died for the sins of this world and for mine. May we leave from this place rejoicing in Christ the King. Father, reveal it unto each and every heart who has gathered here, who may be struggling with whatever it is that they deal with in their life. Take away the hurts. Take away the fears. Take away the unbelief that so often comes crashing in. And reveal unto us again the cross and its powerful message. So, Father, we ask that you would do this for the sake of your Son. And, Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.